So I've been playing this game a lot, and when I in the middle of the night, I've been having dreams.
The Call of Duty games?
I'm shooting people in the head and stuff like that.
I'm waiting for the Rambo dream to hit me, but it hasn't hit me yet.
It's named Hot Pizza, too.
Wow. That's your favorite thing.
What are you doing? You have translations?
She's searching for tattoo fonts.
I'm looking for different fonts.
You want it to say something?
Yes.
On your foot?
Yes. My foot shall tell.
You should just have it say foot.
You could have it say it. You could have it say the game is this.
Go ahead and why don't you guys, since I don't watch Rocky movies. You guys can start off by talking about Rocky movies.
We can talk about boxing movies in general, right? Kind of.
Sure.
Go for it. I haven't watched any boxing.
I don't know. I try to make some notes here, but these are terrible. Because every time I make notes, it ends up just being bad. Okay. You know Kubrick did a boxing movie? It was kind of a short. Did you ever see it?
No.
It's called Killer's Kiss. It's actually kind of interesting. It wasn't really about boxing so much as he was a prize fighter and then he got involved. It was more of a film noir.
Snatch had boxing in it.
On the Waterfront could have been a contender. The whole basic concept is usually it's this character who, that's all he can do. All he can do is beat things up. It's like a very physical, straightforward thing. Raging Bull, it's the same thing. It's Jake LaMotta. All he can do is fight, and his rage helps him in the ring, but it doesn't help him in his personal life because he is mean and abusive to
the various women
and so forth. Yeah. Sort of the opposite of Rocky, I guess. He gets his strength from Adrian, his woman.
Adrian is really ugly, wasn't she?
Talia Shire?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
What's that?
So that's not the point, sometimes.
Sometimes? Other times it is?
Sometimes.
She's being honest.
In what times does good looking matter more than being a good person?
Well, just some people think that good looks are more important. Yeah. I'm not saying I'm one of those people.
Okay.
We are going to talk about Labyrinth, right?
You can talk about Labyrinth all you want.
I got to get, you know, well.
I'm actually going to watch it. I have it, but no.
Oh, man. Wow, forget that. Okay, so quick synopsis. Everyone knows the Rocky movies, but they're all the same movie. Every single one of them is.
Why don't you let Rachel tell the synopsis? That'll be interesting.
No.
No, go ahead. No. Say what happens in Rocky. Prove that you've watched Rocky by giving the synopsis of Rocky. You got to be involved here.
Well, she said she liked the fourth one, so she didn't say ever since she'd seen any other ones.
No, I have watched every single Rocky, but it was when I was younger, and I don't remember.
Which is your favorite
Rocky? All I remember was that Rocky IV was the best movie in the history of mankind.
Okay.
That's what I believe.
That's what he usually says about the Rockies, too.
That's what I believe.
That's his favorite also.
Well, I enjoy it for it's what it is, as the fourth one, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is the basic plot? It's that Rocky isn't good enough and he...
Has to get better.
And he has to get better.
In the end, he
either ties or wins.
It's like a shoujin, like, jump like anime series. It's like Dragon Ball Z or...
Okay. Right.
Whatever else.
Sure.
You know, I have to train and get stronger.
Yeah, right.
Hooray. Yeah. And that's usually what happens.
And there's a variety of different training songs that happen during the montages, right?
Yes, and I actually have the lyrics to the training song in Rocky IV.
Ooh.
For the second one.
I had the tiger?
No, I had the tiger too. It was from
that
3.
Was in 4.
That was in 3. I had the tiger was 3.
I haven't even seen him. I don't know why I'm offering that information.
No, there you go.
The Rye or the Kaiser?
Vince DiCola did...
Vince DiCola?
Did the music for Rocky IV. See, look at my notes. Look at my notes here. That's all you need to read to know what we're going to really be covering here tonight. It's all going to make no sense, but you can...
Transformers fame.
Yes. So it's obscene.
That's Vince DiCola.
Yeah.
What is it that endears you people to boxing movies? I find them incredibly dull.
By and large, they're pretty dull. I haven't seen Cinderella Man or... what's the one that Clint Eastwood did a couple years? Million Dollar Baby?
Million Dollar Baby.
You haven't seen Cinderella Man?
No.
It's a very good movie.
Was it good?
It looks like a Ron Howard. I might like
Renee Zellweger. Did she open her eyes?
Barely.
Did she stop puckering her lips at all?
Of course not.
Was it mainly about Russell Crowe fighting around the world?
Right. With Tugger.
With Tugger.
Tugger kills himself.
Tugger shot himself. Making movies, making songs, and fighting around the world. Oh my god, it's Russell Crowe! I watched that one last night. I'm sorry. Geeking out on South Park. I need someone to slap me every now and again when I do that. Stop it. Okay,
I'll slap you.
Oh, yeah, actually, really?
Excuse me, I'm gonna go tape South Park. Keep talking about boxing movies.
You're gonna tape like an old one?
Oh, yeah.
I got the first 9 seasons on DVD.
What?
What?
I just made a mistake on here.
Well, that's okay. I don't need to do this. I like someone that's going to say what they think. Okay, so Vince DiCola, the guy, the Transformers, the motion picture music, which I think is fantastic 80s music, did the music for Rocky IV. Bill Conti did all the other ones.
Does his name mean Vince of Cola?
I think you asked me that a long time ago, and I think it does, because Leonardo is of Vinci, right?
Yeah. You know, they found out
that he wasn't born in Vinci.
No, they found out
that would piss me off.
So boxing movies, why are they so boring? Explain that to me.
Okay, I think the reason you probably find them boring is...
Because I haven't seen any of them.
Well, I don't know. You probably don't find the character arc compelling, right? I mean, do you like the story of the... I don't know what you call
the
it.
The underdog?
Yeah, the underdog.
I like the underdog.
You like sports movies. We talked about that before.
I love sports movies. I like
but you like it more of a
kid.
You like
Karate.
You like more of a team thing. Oh, but Karate Kid. Okay, Karate Kid is very similar to Rocky in a lot of respects.
Right. It's pretty much just Rocky, except for with an Italian
Macchio,
kid.
Yeah. Instead of an
Italian older kid.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you kind of walked in that one there, didn't you?
I
just step away. Okay. Originally, in the fourth one, he was going to die in the end.
Right.
I was doing some research on that.
And he should have, because the fifth one sucked, right? The
fifth one was terrible.
I heard that's a really bad movie.
The sixth one is pretty good, though. The sixth one brings it all back. And I'll get back to this whole philosophy that goes with them, that kind of comes full circle. Because in all the first four Rocky movies, it's essentially his wife. It's his girlfriend and then his wife.
Yeah.
It's sort of this great motivating force for him in the end. Like
Adrian. Right.
It's made abundantly clear in the training montage in the fourth one, because she doesn't want him. She doesn't to do this. He's like retired. He goes off. He goes to Siberia or whatever, and he's training all slow in the first part.
Good.
And then, you know, he's doing what he needs to, but he's kind of, you know, not excited about it. You know, like who would be excited about that?
Right.
And then she shows up, and she's like there to, like, you know.
Knock some sense into him. She whines and he gets motivated.
No,
right?
She doesn't whine. She just sort of shows up and supports him. Like, I guess. Like, I don't understand this kind of stuff, because ultimately, and I'll get back to this, it's not the correct way to be motivated to do anything, is because somebody else is going to support you. But it works for Rocky IV. I just know, okay? Because I've done. Because it comes out full circle. Even Rocky knows in the end, too. So then he trains a whole bunch more, and.
Is his real name Rocky?
It is. That's what they call him.
But what's that's his given birth name, Rocky? That's his Christian name?
I don't know what
my
that's short for.
My dad has for a name, Rocky.
It's his actual name or it's a nickname?
I think they call him that.
Yeah, it's probably something like that. Anyway, I already told you, did I tell you about the picture? Because the picture's really important.
Of Hoggle?
No, not the picture of Hoggle. So, the thing is, at the beginning of the training montage, he has his little mirror and he takes a picture of Ivan Drago, who's his opponent in the fourth one, this Russian
Ivan,
guy.
It's Ivan.
Ivan.
Okay.
Not Ivan, no. And he,
Yvonne.
And he puts it in the corner of the mirror there so he can, like, see it every morning.
Right.
As he's training. So he's, you know, training. And then when Heart's on Fire really kicks up,
right.
the second song in the super 10-minute long training montage.
Wow. Two songs in the training montage?
There are two and a half.
It's a two-song training montage?
It's like a two and a third, actually. Because, so it's got
this
the slow
is, this is mind-hoggling.
It is quite mind-hoggling.
It hoggles the mind.
It's like that game Hoggle.
Yeah.
Little Totinos.
Baby.
Seth likes those.
Ooh. Mysterious.
So do I.
I should show you a webcomic.
What?
Is he gonna make more of those webcomics?
Probably.
Have you ever heard of Freeing the Beast? You ever heard of Freeing the Beast?
No.
Ian can show you.
That's okay. Maybe later.
If you get Ian angry enough, he'll free the beast.
Hey, that's okay. I don't think.
He might have tuberculosis.
I don't think she could get me angry. Okay, picture. Training montage. First one. Same song, blah, blah. He's pulling plows through the snow, and he's chopping firewood.
Chopping firewood.
Yeah.
This
one thing,
so awesome.
One thing
it's like the most manly,
It's
natural way of getting buff.
It is.
Nice.
It's
cool. Like Conan pushing the thing for 10 years, right?
Only trumped by that, pretty much. But
yeah,
yes.
You're not better than that.
No, there's no way to do that. That pretty much wins.
Did you see the muscle definition he had in every muscle that couldn't have possibly been helped by him pushing the
I know,
the
it'd wheel? Be like five of them. Like, yeah. I think I'm getting that because I'm exercising, but I'm probably not doing it right. So like,
that's
I'm getting
because you wear a
arms.
Red striped unitard and lift a medicine ball.
so he's got the picture up there. He's working out, blah, blah, blah. He comes home one day and he sees his wife's there. And then, you know, boom, they kick it to the next song. You know, it's more 80s-ified and everything else. Mm-hmm. And it's when he's, like, lifting everybody. And the whole time they're juxtaposing this with Drago's form of training, which is all very technological. He's inside and he's being injected with steroids and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, exactly. So they immediately, you know, are like, boom.
That's how you know he's the bad guy.
That's how you know he's the bad guy. That and he's steroids. Russian. And this is back when, you know, this is 1985.
Who killed Apollo? Was it Clever Lang? Or was it him?
No.
It was him.
Okay. Ivan Drago killed Apollo. That's why this is the biggest one. The beginning of the movie, Apollo is pissed off because Drago's like this Russian crazy, you know, Russian training. This is why their form of political affiliation or whatever. I'm sounding like an idiot. This is why communism beats democracy, right?
Right.
Look at what we have. We have this representation of intense strength.
Right. In the form of a black guy.
And America's representation, well, no, he's retired, and so is Rocky. And there's really no good representation from America. They become fat and lazy, if you will.
Mm.
So Apollo doesn't like this. He doesn't want to stand for this. So he tells Polly's robot and Rocky, he's like, hey, I think I'm going to go, because there's a robot in the fourth one. You saw the Family Guy episode where they did the parody of that real quick, and then they had the robot, and the robot actually came in and said, like, hello, Polly?
No.
Okay, well, yeah.
I did.
I probably seen it, and I don't.
You don't like those because they're perpetually, like, just, ha ha ha, I get that.
Yeah.
But that they kept the Polly thing in there, I thought that was funny. But, so, Rock's talking to him, and he's like, hey, you, Apollo, maybe you're not really fighting him. Maybe you're fighting yourself. You know, you have a thing, you know, like, maybe you're having trouble dealing with the fact that you're getting old, and, you know, you're done with this. And that's really the theme of this movie. And so now back, cut to, okay, boom, James Brown sang Living in America. You know, wow, Living in America.
It was every day at Kmart. No.
Fantastic. And I can make you some mixed discs. I could make you some more banging tracks, and you could sneak them into Kmart. That'd be pretty great, huh?
It's all satellite.
Oh, come on. You could hack that, right? So, Apollo's dead because Drago beat the holy hell out of him, you know? And then, if he dies, he dies. That's what he says, basically.
Wow.
Because he leaves him, and he just beats the crap out of him.
Heartless Russian.
Heartless. Bastard. You know, even though he was He-Man and Masters of the Universe.
Did they do the thing that I've seen every time I turn past Spike and there's a Rocky movie going, where...
It's the slow motion punch?
Him. No, not that. They get him on the ropes, and they just wail on him while they're on the ropes, which the refs don't allow, actually.
No, I don't think that ever happens.
Because every time, it happens. Every time I flip past Rocky movies all the time, and I watch through fight scenes.
Only one person's ever been killed in a boxing ring in a Rocky movie, and that was.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is, they get someone on the ropes, and the person's staying there, just getting bounced off. Mm-hmm. The person punches him in the face over and over.
Yeah, but the refs usually do pull that away. You know, okay.
I didn't see a ref pull anything away in any of the times I've watched it on Spike.
Okay,
that's all I'm telling you.
No, that's usually when I end up seeing it. So he's training. Got the whole thing. Apollo's dead. It's sort of like revenge. It's sort of like revenge. He's going to fight on Christmas Day, you know, because the godless communists don't care about the fact that it's Christmas Day.
Winter solstice.
It's in Russia. He's going to lose. He's going to give up his heavyweight title to go do this fight. Like, there's all kinds of, like, political stuff that's going on. That's kind of subtext in the
politicking.
Movie. Yeah, politicking. And so training.
Polytickling? There's some polytickling in this?
Polytickling. Yeah, which is many ticklings. Like a polygon. The real theme, maybe you're just fighting yourself, which is the key part of it. He's training, he's got that little picture of him. Finally, he just, at one point, they just cut to him, and he just grabs the picture, and he just rips it up, he just tears it off the mirror, and then just sees himself, because it doesn't matter.
He's just fighting himself.
No, that's the whole point. That's the whole point of the Rocky movies.
All of them?
All of them. And it becomes really big in the sixth one. In the sixth one, his wife is dead. He doesn't have Adrian to show up to give him the last little notch.
Let me guess. Cancer?
I don't know. I don't think it even matters. It's just that she's dead.
It matters to me.
And he has a speech with his son about the point is, it's like, you know, you can either live and do nothing or die doing something or whatever.
Live
you know?
For nothing or
live
die,
for nothing or die for something. a fight with the self. That's what these boxing movies are all about. They're about...
I thought it was a fight with a black guy.
One guy has to figure out how to deal with himself in the world and how to justify his own existence and everything else. It's back to the whole masculine theory stuff. That's basically what it is. And so in the fourth one, when he rips the picture down and looks at himself, that's the final bit of the training. And he knows he's ready. You don't ever have to beat anyone else in this world. You just have to be able to beat yourself. You just have to be strong.
This sounds a little bit like the Riddle of Steel from Conan the Barbarian. Because the Riddle of Steel is... I don't know what the actual riddle is.
Can you do it?
I can't say the actual thing. I know that he says, that Conan says, Crom sits strong. If I die and he asks me the Riddle of Steel and I don't know the answer, I will be kicked out of Valhalla and he will laugh at me. That's Crom, mm-hmm. strong on his mountain.
Strong
you
on
know
his
Crom.
Mountain. From Conan? Okay. Oh, yeah, that's
I've
right.
I've never prayed to you before.
Uh-huh.
I have no tongue for it. I don't know the rest of it.
Yeah.
I know that he says, grant me revenge, and if you do not do this, then the hell with you. That's how he ends
well,
the prayer.
You gotta,
that's how you should end all prayers, I think.
I was watching an episode of Samurai Jack today, and yeah. it was the one where he had to kill the guy that was a Norse guy or whatever.
Samurai
Viking.
Jack?
Yeah.
It's a cartoon. Ian likes cartoons.
I like
what
cartoons.
A nerd.
Like a lot.
I like
it's cartoons. A really good show.
Would there be a samurai named Jack?
There isn't this...
In this show, there is.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this show's really good, actually. It's a really good cartoon. You probably wouldn't like it, though. I don't know. Maybe you would.
It's not an anime thing, is it?
No.
No, it was like
a Cartoon
Network thing, but it was more adult than the usual
It wasn't really adult at all, but it was...
It was more adult than the thing.
It's more artistic.
Don't make excuses for Ian watching cartoons.
Sorry. I watch cartoons. I watch Futurama.
I don't make excuses for me watching cartoons. I know it's not...
I enjoy a good episode of SpongeBob SquarePants every now and then.
Yeah, I watch SpongeBob every day when I wake up at 1.
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea, huh? Okay. Well, anyway, so, you know, the warrior's death.
Yeah.
That's right. So the warrior's death, the Riddle of Steel,
mm-hmm.
the theme
basically
of, the
it's
theme
like
of
he's
Rocky.
A gladiator. He's mm-hmm. he's someone who would have been a gladiator or a warrior
that's all
400
that
years ago.
Yeah.
And now he's just a boxer.
It's all he can do.
Oh, you wrote that down.
I wrote that down because that's a major theme in anything that involves warriors.
Let me ask Rachel something.
Yeah.
Why do you like the Rocky movies?
Well...
Does he woo anyone in them?
He tries to woo Adrian.
He doesn't.
Does he woo Adrian, or does Adrian see
he tries,
his rippling
he
tries,
No, he tries his best. She's pretty intimidated by the whole physicality,
yeah?
too. She's really very meek in the first one, and he's still... I mean, he, like, breaks guys' legs in the first one for... Mm-hmm. I don't think they really...
Oh, he's like a loan shark
or
something, right?
Well, he works for the guys.
Oh, okay.
He's a collector.
He's a collector, yeah.
You know, it was extortion.
Johnny wants his money. He does that?
Uh-huh.
Does he say Johnny wants his money?
And she, like, works at a pet store.
Ooh, sexy.
And he has
you know,
a turtle.
You know who I think might be a little uglier than her? The lady who played Lois Lane in the first four Superman, the three Superman movies. What's her name?
No, it was four.
Well, they cut her a lot. They cut her completely out of the...
she was in the fourth one.
Third one or the second one?
Almost
completely.
She was
completely.
In the second one a lot. He,
they cut her almost
he,
completely
He stopped
out
being
of
Superman so he could bang her in the second one.
Right.
Remember?
And one of them, they well, what's her name?
I don't remember.
She went crazy,
her name,
remember? They
yeah.
made fun of that on Family Guy.
Carrot,
too.
No.
Carrie Underwood?
I don't know what her name was, but there's no way she was uglier than Adrian.
Margot Kidder.
Margot Kidder.
Did you see that?
But you hate Superman movies in general, right? So you're already going into it with a bad taste.
No, I, you know what? I liked the first one. Yeah, that's her. Look at her.
This is an old picture of her.
That's an old picture of her? No, that's from 2005. That's that's her looking as good as she ever did. You gotta put that as the title of the podcast. Who's uglier, Margot Kidder or Talia Shire? Talia Shire's really not that ugly anymore. She just really looked bad in the 80s.
No one looked that good.
No one looks good in the 80s.
Are you kidding? What about
Michelle Pfeiffer looked good in the 80s. That was
she is kind of ugly.
Oh, Sharon Stone looked great. Nah, that was Total Recall. It was 90s.
Yeah.
Great legs, though.
Let me see. No, that was her back in the day. She still looked like... Look, she looks like a transvestite.
That's what I just said. She is kind of ugly.
Oh, when they saw her, they thought Lois Lane.
I guess.
Kind of looks like Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs.
She does look like a transvestite a little bit.
Oh my gosh, look at her face!
Yeah, it's kind of ugly.
It's like somebody...
Okay, you
molded,
win that argument.
Yeah, somebody like molded some Play-Doh into a woman. Oh my gosh.
Okay, you win. We'll be right back.
Okay. So you guys just saw the new Rambo movie.
Yeah, Rambo. Let's get into this stuff now. So Rachel hadn't seen the first three. And I told her it was completely unnecessary because what happens in the fourth movie is what happens in the second and third anyway. It's the same thing.
Basically, there's no Dennehy. Dennehy was in the first. I wanted Dennehy to be at the end of the fourth one. Did you hear me out of the corner? I'm like, where's Dennehy?
What if he popped in and said, "Listen, John, I'm sorry for all the trouble."
Exactly.
We had in the
past. I actually wanted that to happen.
I've got some gold I want to steal in Europe. You want to come with me?
We got Brian Benben. Yeah, and then he comes down in an airship and. Yeah. Oh, wow.
So, I explained the first one to Rachel, and she said she actually wanted to see the first one.
The first one
is very good, and it's about post-traumatic stress disorder, and it's about the way people treated people coming back from Vietnam, and how it was, you know, just... It's a different type of movie, and the only people that die in it are people that die inadvertently, and they're not. It's not by Rambo's fault. They're chasing him in the woods, and one guy falls out of a helicopter. Remember that?
Yeah, I think he does at some point.
No, he didn't kill anyone, though.
He builds traps and stuff.
No,
right?
Somebody
gets stabbed.
They stab a guy in the leg. Mm-hmm. They stab this guy right through the legs. He stabs somebody in like the arm. Like he doesn't actually end up killing anyone, which is hard to believe considering that he blows up the entire town
pretty much nearly
at the end. But the second and third are somebody comes to Rambo and they say, "Well, it's not somebody. It's Troutman. Colonel Troutman." And he says, "John, there's some POWs. We need you to get him out." And he's like, I don't want to do that anymore. He's
no,
don't
specifics. He's breaking rocks at the beginning of the second one.
That's because he's
been
put in
jail.
Yeah,
so it's not a hey Johnny, come on.
I know he says you can get your freedom that way. So at the end, they give him a full presidential pardon because he gets into Cambodia, wherever it is, or Vietnam, and
loses his chick.
She was actually pretty good looking for the 80s.
It was early 80s or mid 80s. Yeah,
for an Asian girl. And then, so he...
I can't look at me. He's Asian.
We don't really like Asian girls, do you? Yeah.
No.
You dislike Asian women. All Asian women. Ian dislikes women.
Ian doesn't like women.
Sexually, he likes women. But in terms of, like, respect and stuff, right out the window.
What are you talking about? I respect...
I'm just kidding.
What is it? How does it go? No. How does it go? It's, I like all of them. They're all good. They're all great.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Oh, the religions?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But they're all good.
I like them all. I like all religions.
Yeah, they're all good.
I like them well.
They'll work. Whatever.
So, and then in the third one, Troutman himself, which was a nice little twist on it, it becomes the POW.
He goes to where he is in the fourth one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because he's in Thailand already.
Yeah, he is.
And he's helping some monks out. And he's like, I've found some purpose in my life. And Troutman says...
He's helping him build a temple.
Yeah, right. And Troutman says, this ain't your purpose. Your purpose is killing people for the good of mankind.
You're weird, Johnny. Yeah.
And so then Troutman goes and he gets himself kidnapped. Or whatever.
This is in Afghanistan.
By the Soviets.
The Soviets invaded Afghanistan. So Rambo and Osama have to team up.
Yeah.
To take down communists.
Yeah, you know that we... maybe you didn't know this, Rachel, but the American government gave Osama bin Laden his beginning.
Freaking America.
Yeah.
Every day I hate them more and more. Okay.
So,
I really mean that.
So Rambo 4, it actually begins
bubble
kind
letters.
Of,
is that the font you're going for?
Yeah, you should just have him do it like that.
You should what you should look,
put some hearts that. Around it.
It should be the font from Kindergarten Cop.
What? Kindergarten Cop?
Oh, that's a great movie.
That font?
Oh, she's gonna look it up now.
I want to see the font.
I don't know how to do that.
I don't know.
Okay. So it's Afghanistan, and it's, what is it? It teaches us that tank beats Apache at the end. I saw that one at the theater. My dad took me to see that one.
Well, one thing I noticed is the older...
They have the thing.
Yeah, right.
The third one. Do you remember? The third one also more prominently had the explosive arrows.
Arrows, yeah.
Which weren't in the fourth one.
It wasn't in the fourth one. It happened once in the second one. Yeah. That he used it on a person. It's the guy on the rock.
Exactly. And they showed that in the flashback.
Yeah, they showed it in the flashback. Gosh, and the flashbacks were a bad idea because you see how much weight Stallone has gained over the years.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You know that he's...
Because you see the pictures of the first one.
His face is
even
the same.
Yeah.
There's flashbacks, too, in the one that we just watched from the older ones. And he's, like, completely different.
Like, yeah. Like, we're talking about, he looked gaunt and his... Yeah. Anyway.
That's horrible.
So
did she actually find it? How do you even do that?
He's kind of a poster for him.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's it.
So the fourth one is interesting because you think that after the third one, he could have just gone back to his monk life, right?
Possibly.
But instead, he's doing something where, like, he has really no contact with people, and he's super pissed when it starts. He's pissed.
Well, he's bitter.
He's bitter. Well, they come to him, and the Christian guys are all like, hey, you know, you want to help us out? And he just kind of swears at them a little bit. He says, like...
Rome is a war zone.
Yeah, he says Rome is a war zone, but he also says... that the world isn't worth saving.
Yeah, he's like, you're bringing in guns?
You're not going to change anything.
Yes. And the only reason he goes is because a girl... By the way, the dialogue in the first half of the movie is probably the worst of any movie ever.
Yeah, it's not very good.
People just, like... One person says one cliched, like, trailer line, and the other person answers with a cliched trailer line.
Pretty terrible.
And it's like that nonstop, like, between the guy with Rambo and the girl.
But then Dexter's girlfriend shows up and decides to... Yeah.
She's ugly.
She tries to use her feminine wiles.
Yeah, which are not many. She kind of has like the neck skin sag thing going.
Really?
A little bit, yeah.
I guess so.
She's probably only in her 30s, so that's probably not good for her. She's not going to look good in her 40s, I'll tell you that much. So,
and I'm the sexist.
When Rambo really decides he wants to kill people, he does it.
Yeah. Well, that's what you do.
As Stallone gets older, though, he does it in less... labor-intensive ways.
Of course, he's about saving time.
Yeah, he saves time and energy so that he can make sure he's able to rock himself to sleep at night.
Uh-huh.
So he goes to, he jumps on a 50 caliber machine gun in the vital action scene at the end of the film, and he, you know, proceeds to slaughter the entire Burmese army. And at one point, somebody mentioned this, so I was watching with, one of the people we were watching with mentioned, hey, When the 50 cal ran out of bullets, mm-hmm. I was thinking, yeah, he's gonna go down there and start killing people. But no, he reloads the gun.
Yeah. I was so excited. I was ready for him to, like, go down there and start stabbing people.
Yeah, but he just reloads the gun.
And keeps going.
And then keeps shooting people up there.
I was pretty disappointed in it. I mean,
I wasn't disappointed. The way turned into brutal violence. Bodies were getting cut in half by bullets, and that was fantastic.
But the thing is, it's back to the solitude thing. And you didn't have... The first two Rambos were totally about solitude. In this one, there's this whole group of... There's this ragtag group of mercenaries.
Yeah.
Including an Australian guy who's... Or English, I can't
tell.
Yeah,
English. They're English, yeah.
He was acting...
There's two English guys.
Yeah, and it was like... It was more of a team effort.
It was, but they just ended up... I think that was because...
Because it would seem more believable that... A whole team of people, rather than just old, like, 62
And they did kill a lot of people. Like, after he started shooting, they all grabbed AKs, and...
it became an actual fight.
By the way, from playing Call of Duty, I know that the AK-47 is not a very accurate gun. So, just throwing that out there.
Okay.
It was just because you suck at it. But I also hated that they kind of... which just could be true under some circumstances. But that the Christian men, the missionaries that were there...
Mm-hmm.
When all the fighting was going on, they didn't want to be a part of it at all.
Oh, well, you mean at the beginning? When they first get attacked?
Even at the end, like...
There was just that one guy left.
The one guy bashes... He was so traumatized by it. You could see in his eyes. He was so traumatized by the fact that he did that, which...
It was a major change in his life.
In that moment, the last thing I would be thinking about was, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just killed somebody. I'd be like, mother effer, you deserve that.
Well, I think he's got the bloodlust for the moment that he's doing it.
But you see it in his eyes the whole time, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm doing this. It was like so Trump. Further, I just want people to know that Zach is cutting cookies.
He's very purposefully doing this, though.
Ian knows what I'm doing.
You got to put him in the freezer for a bit, though.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
It's from another Stallone movie, since we're talking about that, called Cobra. He cuts the tiniest slice of pizza off the edge of
the triangles with scissors. Yeah. Broke. Okay, this is interesting. So you think that was sort of inauthentic, behavior?
We know from America, George Bush, that real Christians would jump at the chance to slaughter some swarthy man, right?
Well, he's not jumping at it. He's sending other people in there, which could make him sure a pansy himself.
I'm sure he would do it.
But I must say also, which I know a lot of women probably would have been the same way. But the girl in it was just so traumatized and screaming and crying the whole time.
Every time
and she couldn't grow the balls to, or excuse me, the fallopian tubes to grab one of the guns from somebody that was dead.
She was up on the hill with Schoolboy. Every time he fired a sniper rifle, she'd go chewing like this.
And cover her ears.
It's loud.
It was pretty loud.
I know, it's loud. But
why did she reflexively scream every time?
I could understand if maybe she didn't want to go run and try to find something, but don't act like
I think it's really not their world, you know? It's just...
Well, it's not my world to see that, but I think I would definitely handle that situation better.
I've done this a couple times in the podcast. Zach knows I love to bring up Alive whenever it's the... You never really know how you're going to act until you're in that situation.
Right.
It's true.
Will you eat somebody that's dead to survive?
I wouldn't.
Or won't you? Like, see, I don't really know either. I used last time in terms of being seduced, right? That was funny. I'm like, I don't think I would fall for it and then get, you know, my kidneys ripped out or whatever.
Yeah, right.
No, totally.
No, actually, you wouldn't fall for it.
No?
I have a feeling you would say that you had some pressing engagement and then you'd go home.
I gotta go.
Just in case the person seduced you might be trying to take your kidneys.
I'm paranoid. But I know that's an interesting take. I mean, you really can't say how you're going to behave until you're in the
You really don't, like but that. I feel like in like the very
you feel
small
like,
emergency situations I've been in that were obviously nowhere near the situation she was in.
You know, they stepped up to it.
I can step up to it.
They did put character arcs in this movie, which was kind of forced, but Rambo had a character arc, of course, which is the same character arc he had in 2 and 3, which is, I don't want to fight anymore. Oh, I guess I got to. It's in my blood. Like, each time he does that, you know?
It was actually, you know, it was. I sort of felt unresolved by it, because I thought his character arc was more of a bitter...
It was really quick.
More of a bitter...
His character arc changes the first time he kills those guys with the arrows. Right at that point, he's like... He says the thing that basically was the girl told him in the beginning. He didn't believe until he decides, you know. Until he has his flashback and remembers all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then he...
Die for something.
And then he says the thing while he's making a sword, and he says...
I did like that they had him making a sword.
Yeah, when you're pushed to the limit, you know, killing's as easy as breathing, basically. Like, mm-hmm. he realizes that that's who he is, and he might as well use it for something.
Yeah.
You know? So...
I guess Weinstein wants to make a fifth one, because this
really?
One did well. I mean, it lost to Meet the Spartans.
That was just a surprise on Meet the Spartans part, because it made exactly what... Gitesh Pandya, who does the website called Box Office Guru, he accurately predicts and has been doing for like 15 years. He's like the number one box office prognosticator guy, and he predicted Rambo.
Like
Rambo
Frank
would,
Lutz
he said Rambo would win with 18 million, and it did. It got 18.1 million, and he said Meet the Spartans would get 9 million, and it got 18.7 over the weekend.
So how did he screw that up?
He completely underestimated the stupidity of the American public, which is rough to do.
Or that the people would want to see it twice, maybe?
I don't think anyone saw it twice over the weekend. Just a lot of people saw it because they like 300 and they like Shrek and they like Britney Spears and things like that.
Ah. You didn't see it, did you?
No. I'm going to, though.
Okay.
I'm not going to see it in the theaters. I'll watch it when it's really...
I think I'm good for movies for a while after There Will Be Blood.
There Will Be Blood, yeah.
I think I'm...
That completely sated your movie lust?
I don't know what, but I think I'm just kind of... I'm good. I'm good. So, okay. So, well, what do you give Rambo for? You just love the violence, right? But, I mean...
No, you know, it was a throwback to the old 80s action films.
Yeah,
it really was
was
just like a Rambo movie, and which is what it was.
Except it wasn't just him doing all the work.
No, I wasn't as upset about that because the violence was so over the top.
Yeah.
And he did... I mean, they kind of did the thing where he aged in an accurate way because he kind of did what a 61-year-old could have done.
Yeah.
Which is fire a 50 caliber machine gun into a
horde. Shoot some arrows and run kind of fast if he needed to and do some work with a knife.
He's good at killing people.
Did you think the violence was gratuitous?
I think the violence was absolutely 100% gratuitous.
Really?
And I loved every moment of it, yes.
You don't think that it was sort of like trying to be... Like,
I don't think gratuitous.
You don't think it had a Peckinpah sort of sense to it? Which is
no,
like
no.
When you shoot somebody with one of these bullets, then that's what's going to happen to their head, and this is the way it would actually do it.
And that's supposed to scare you, and that's supposed to make you not want to see that in real life.
Yeah.
I think he did that because he knew that people wanted to see it.
Sure, people want to see it, but it does have that sort of like realistic sensibility to it, right? Do you think?
Gosh,
I mean, I'm not saying that I think the movie is realistic. I'm just saying that is the sort of... You know, when you cut somebody open, it's not just like a little bit of blood spills out of them. It's not,
well,
Kill
one
Bill.
Thing I read in something recently, it was some other violent movie, somebody said, I think it's better to show way, way more because then you know it's not real. and people can understand it's not real if there's way more blood than what actually
happened. Well, and that goes back to the old-timey stuff where, you know, you cut to the shadow and the people screaming and it's almost more horrific because it's like what you don't see.
Yeah, but at the same time, that doesn't show... There's not the visceral aspect of the blood and the guts.
Which is why Alien vs. Predator didn't work. Not the new one. Apparently the new one was rated R, but it had plenty of violence. But this the old
Alien vs. Predator, the first one.
Yeah, Alien vs. Predator 1.
That one really had that. Yeah, it just doesn't work when you cut away. It doesn't work when you cut away.
We're back to Rambo now. So, the Feudal Podcast.
Don't you think... I was thinking about this the other day.
Rambo or Rambone?
That's what I was going to say. Don't you think the whole series would have been better if his name was John Rambone? I think that I was thinking about that the other night. I was laying in bed thinking about it, and I was like, Rambo, Rambo, Rambone.
That's what you were thinking about while laying in bed.
While laying in bed, I think about people's names, and I think about how switching them around and putting the word bone in them somewhere will make it better. But so, what would you guys think of Rambo? All three of you. We'll start counterclockwise. Blaine, what'd you think?
It was good.
It was good.
It was great. A lot of action.
Had you seen the other three?
No, I haven't.
Okay. It's been critically panned for the most part. It's getting looking
for an actual story.
it has a crap for story, crap for acting, crap for dialogue. The direction is kind of there. It's just kind of there.
It's functional.
Yeah. And then it's also the most grisly, violent war film. Well, it's not even war. It's a war zone.
It's a war zone.
Burma's a war zone. Burma's a war zone. And so it ends up being just this incredibly visceral. I got my rocks off watching this movie. Basically,
you watched it twice.
I did watch it twice.
Oh my God. I got my rocks off twice.
I got my rocks off.
And you invited me to the second viewing. I should have, but
You couldn't handle it.
So you went with just Rachel?
Yeah, me and Rachel went. So basically what happens the second time around is you go, man, that dialogue's even worse this time. And then every time someone got killed, I was looking very carefully to see if there was digital blood, and I noticed it more. And I was like, oh, this looks like a Japanese movie. Because in Japanese movies, when there's excessive amounts of blood, they just put some digital splatter on a wall.
Especially when he cut the guy in half.
Yeah, at the end he cuts the guy in half and guts fall out, and then as he rolls down the hill, it's moving, it's really fake looking.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple of parts after the village massacre where they shoot people and they explode, but then there's a huge digital splotch with like its own fake shadow that appears on the and then
the thing they cut away pretty fast. So you don't
And I'm sure that they wouldn't have if they hadn't been cut down by the MPAA. It had to be edited by like 8 minutes to take away an NC-17 or something like that. Wow. It was that violent. As you can tell, I think it literally was the most violent thing I'd ever seen in terms of like gunshot stuff. You've seen stuff where people get their tongues cut out.
The 50 cal was so sweet. Well, that the 50 cal,
yeah,
machine
that was
gun and the 50 caliber sniper rifle.
My brother really loved the first scene where he starts shooting everyone with the arrows, and it bothered me that it was also very digital. Because other than that would have been cool, you know, if it was like.
You could see blood going through the water.
We watched Commando again the other day.
Yes.
And the scene where he throws the saw blade at the guy and it peels his wig off.
We watched that scene about three or four times. It's cool
because what they did was they put a fake brain on a guy's head, and then they put a wig over that, and then they had a rope on the wig, and when they had this thing swing by, they pulled the rope off. It's awesome.
It's practical special effects.
You know? And what they would do now is they just have some big fake digital thing where they draw with cartoon the guy's head, and he's not moving.
We at the Feudal Podcast are nothing if not lovers of practical special effects.
I love it. That's the best thing about 80s and 90s action.
Absolutely.
Films, when they shot somebody, they spent $10,000 making a huge squib that would blow a hole in the wall if they put it there. You know, like that's the best thing. And that the blood they made was something that they had mixed in a bucket. You know, that's great.
It was Karo syrup and red and green food coloring. And
fantastic.
That's the way to do it. So you liked it?
Yeah, I liked it.
But you guys liked it? Didn't
it was a little violent for me.
Yeah, it was pretty
awesome. It was okay.
No,
I just got by the way, right. That phone
I thought
call.
It was too political. I felt like they were trying to be too political.
It was
kind of
weird how they inserted that. It was a little
political. That was not political enough.
You know, the general or whatever the guy was, the leader, like him and his.
Two-star general.
His molestation of boys.
That was so gratuitous. Like, not only was this guy the most flat, evil person ever put in a movie, but he was also a gay pedophile. And he didn't. And his the second other thing I noticed watching the second time is that he kept missing a spot when he shaved because he has his goatee, and then there's this patch right here with like 2 inches of hair hanging down, and it was killing me.
You know why? That's so he can stroke it. Yeah. Like I was thinking about keeping that patch before I shaved.
Yeah. You just have a patch on the side of your
face. I didn't because I didn't. But it's okay. So there you go.
What they should have done to give the guy a little more empathy was after he bangs a kid and slaps his butt and sends him outside, he opens his locket and looks at a picture of his dead wife. That's what they should have done.
Picture of the kid.
While stroking the beard.
Yeah. Stroking the little rat tail on the side of his face.
So, the big news, I guess, you just reminded us, Blaine had not seen Commando.
Yeah.
So, would you please discuss what you thought, having...
Let's talk about
But, that. First of all, you had spoiled Commando for yourself, because, and this is why I freaking hate YouTube.
Why?
All the good stuff, all the great stuff for movies is out there for people just to spoil, so they're like... There's going to be a whole generation of people...
Worst action.
Yeah, they will have...
It wasn't YouTube, it was on...
not appreciated anything.
There was lines on it from Cracked.com, which basically what they do is lists of things, and they show you funny parts of them. And
basically, yeah. Anyway, you ruin your life with...
Well, I didn't know... Well, it was like a compilation of scenes from action movies. And
well,
they were
we'll start with the best thing in Commando, which is...
What's that character?
Sully?
Yeah,
Sully. So you love Sully.
That's my favorite. Sully.
And we made a point.
You fucking hoe.
we told you that remember how he's going to kill Sully last. And you're like, great, because Sully's my favorite.
Yeah. And it was just a lie, because, as we all know, Arnold lied.
That was probably like, I felt so cheated.
But yeah, he did the best line when he says that line to the girl. He's like, hey, let's go hang out. Let's have a good time. And he's got this nice voice. And she's
like, just like,
she's like, I don't. I'm not interested in it. Suddenly his face drops and he goes, fucking whore. it just completely changes.
He kind of snaps at her, though. He doesn't just drop and keep it dropped. He drops and he kind of snaps at her.
It was like unwarranted, though. Like, why would he... Like, he wasn't provoked at all.
He was upset that she wasn't going to go.
Yeah, but she laid
him
off quite easy.
You'd also think that this was something that he'd be used to, because I think all he does is roll around malls and look for girls to pick up, and they
obscenely 80s malls, by the way.
Yeah, with obscene pickup lines.
With all the
obscenely 80s
colorful stuff.
I love the John, I'll be waiting, John.
Yeah, he says, he does redundantly, Bennett, hello? Oh, sorry. You gotta be quieter. So Bennett does use a lot of redundancy when he's talking about John Matrix, who also has a really terrible name.
Yeah.
He always puts some like really cool sounding last name after a name like John or something like that, and there's always that's how you make an action movie.
Yes. It's the action part of the action movie Matrix generator.
Exactly. The Matrix generator wasn't working that day, so they just used the name of the
Matrix,
generator and they said John Matrix, that'll work.
Definitely.
Anyway, so in Commando,
the pipe. Remember when he impaled him with the pipe?
Yeah, so he impales him with
his
Bennett's
chainmail.
Been wearing chainmail the whole time, and a rusty
totally
pipe
ironic.
Isn't going to fit. You know, is it going to deflect? If it were mithril, he probably would have been fine.
Mithril, yeah. And what if it was adamantium?
If it was adamantium, that would have been pretty good too.
It's unbreakable, man.
Unless the pipe was made out of adamantium. Wait, would that work? Do they cancel each other out?
They would.
Would the world just blow?
You have carbon 12 adamantium, and one of them is laced with
carbon 14 or something.
Yeah, carbon 14.
One's laced with heavy.
If you got a heavier diamond, it cuts a lighter diamond. I really like in the movie how some of my favorite things are that he uses flowery hedges as a shield during a huge shootout.
There's a lot of bulletproof shrubbery in Commando.
Yeah. He's running behind this hedge with flowers everywhere, and the flowers are going and they're like right in front of him, that's happening, and he's just going and one by one guys, you know, he's not always shooting them with large caliber guns, most of the time he is, but when he's not, they're still flipping in the air, and like at one point someone throws a grenade and it lands like 2 inches from his ankle, and he just jumps and he goes like this. Then, like, he lands.
He somersaults a few times.
he gets up and runs.
Yeah, it was like not even a foot away from his leg, and it blew up.
And as Ian very joyfully pointed out, he straps himself with all these weapons,
all this gear,
loads himself down, and then he gets shot, and he goes into the shed, and he foregoes everything shed, he yes. brought and drops it, and then picks up some garden shears and a pitchfork, and
starts, he abides to yeah. the situation,
and then he just picks up more guns from the fallen. Yeah. Yeah. You know, communist heroes outside.
He turns it back around on Carla's ex-husband.
Yeah. And Cher's dad.
And finishes him off. And so, then goes after
it's
Bennett.
It's one of those action movies where the main bad guy is the one who's killed first because the sidekick is the real bad guy.
Yeah, like like the opposite of what happens in Under Siege 2.
Under Siege 2, exactly, yeah. For some reason, they keep the crap. They keep Eric Bogosian. When he can obviously just kill him, and then he does, mm-hmm. you know. He's like, hey, stay away from me, I've got a computer. And he like, kicks him off the train.
No, wait, isn't it he's on a helicopter and he falls into a flaming train and he's yelling Ryback.
Yeah, Ryback. And I was watching Under Siege, I watched the first Under Siege again the other day. And Tommy Lee Jones is actually, he's really over the top, pretty crazy, funny character in that. And then at the end, like, they have this knife fight where it seems like they threw in an arbitrary moment where he actually nicks Ryback a little bit, mm-hmm. but the rest of the time it's just they go ching 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 with the knives, and then a huge gash gets cut in Tommy Lee Jones somewhere, showing Ryback's prowess, mm-hmm. Steven Seagal, and he slashes him here, 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 and then like he gets Steven Seagal a little bit with a little, tiny little nick, and he's like and then they do it again, and then like they struggle for a second, and anytime Steven Seagal kills someone, it doesn't look like justice. It mm-hmm. looks like bullying. Mm-hmm. Because he takes tiny Tommy Lee Jones, and he pops his eyeball out, and he sticks a knife in the top of his head, and he throws him through a computer screen. Yeah. And then, he should have just, like, spit on him and kicked his dead butt. And, like, mm-hmm. you know,
and stole his girl.
Because when he kills anyone in the movie, it just looks like some big, huge, mean guy picking on someone and then killing them.
Yeah.
it's not like... It's not like a Bruce Willis thing where some like guy who looks like some schlub who's like really dirty and drunk, like is like, oh, I gotta save my family. And instead, it's just like, hey, you, and then he shoots some guys, you know. In terms of Commando, why do you think it was so good?
What made Did it I so ever great? Say it was so great?
Oh, come on,
take that. I don't know. It was like ridiculously. It was like over the top and.
They don't make movies like that.
What about the constant Calypso music?
The James Horner score with the
I thought it fit very well with what was going on.
Yeah. Well, they do go to a pseudo-Caribbean island off the coast of California.
Yeah.
Soon, which is basically like they go to Catalina, and for some reason
the music was foreshadowed.
It's like a huge communist stronghold on like Catalina. It's great. And then, they go to that... the army surplus store, and he finds the secret switch under the counter that opens up the door to the assault rifles and rocket launchers, because there's always one of those in a surplus store.
And falling down there.
I was surprised that he got caught.
Yeah, right? The most realistic thing about the movie is that he drives, in any other movie, you drive a bulldozer through a store in the middle of the night, you take all the stuff, nobody ever comes, right? Because if you ever see a movie set in L.A., the streets are completely empty at night. In reality, if you drive through L.A. at 3 in the morning, you're going to pass like 70 cars in like 2 minutes, you know, because there's so many people, there's bound to be people out, they're going to Denny's and they're getting drunk and other stuff.
But he managed to commandeer a tractor.
He managed to commandeer a bulldozer. I assume he started it by, you know, hot wiring it. And then he drives it through the front of the store. Then they spend a good, I'd say, half an hour shopping. She actually has a shopping cart.
Yes.
And they're dumping things like rocket launchers into it. Well, regular stuff first. Mm-hmm. And then he goes behind the counter, and he's like, come on, come on. And then he pushes a switch, and the wall opens up. Oh, there it is. There's a huge room full of automatic weapons and illegal weapons, basically, used for fighting illegal wars. Mm-hmm. And he goes, and they take all the stuff, and then as he walks outside... There's cops there, and the first time I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, the cops actually heard it. Yeah. It's incredible. This is a realistic movie.
Yeah.
Then followed by the girl shooting a rocket launcher into the paddy wagon.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would do that.
Well, first of all, I don't think any of them were killed, because they don't tell you if they... What if it cut to a scene right after they did that, and Commando gets out, and Matrix goes, how did you know how to shoot the thing? And she goes, I read the instructions. And they're like, oh, and they drive away. Then what if it cut to a cop looking into the paddy wagon? He goes, they're both dead. Tell their wives and children. Yeah, because she shoots.
Very ineffective.
And he's in the back of the paddy wagon.
Your crispy critters.
And she shoots like underneath it and it blows it up, right? And he just kind of walks out. He's okay.
It's a gas tank, like
That's how you free someone from the paddy
wagon. Armor plated. And tires, hitting tires makes it roll.
Yeah, that's right. And at first she shot it backwards because you never know which side.
She didn't read the instructions.
She blew up a motel and killed a couple of heroin addicts or something.
Yeah. So when did she have time to read the instructions? Because
I don't know. She's in the parking lot. She didn't know how to use it. And then she shot it backwards.
She's in the parking lot to the left of the surplus store, right? That's where she's hiding. She's ducking down while the cops are getting him. She shows them, throw him in the wagon. They drive off. And she just follows him.
So
and there's like a rocket launcher sticking up out of the back of the car, right? And the lights are flashing as she drives out. If the car is still parked there. So they don't care as this woman in this Cadillac or whatever with a rocket launcher sticking up out of the back of the car and bags of like duffel bags, like army duffel bags that are probably full of automatic weapons, and they are. And they don't give her a second look. And she's a black woman, too. And she drives around the corner. And
but she's a woman, you see.
It's only half black.
Yeah. You don't suspect.
Yeah, only half black. That's a woman. A mulatto, I'm sorry. But the point is that that part was very unrealistic, but it follows a part that's the most realistic, which is the cops heard him drive a bulldozer through a store.
Where someone called the cops and they arrived.
Yeah, it's stupid because she said she read the instructions and she shot it backwards.
Another problem is that when he jumps out of the plane and he sets his watch for 11 hours, and it beeps very loudly. It goes beep, 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 beep. And then it shows him running away and the beeping has stopped. Then later on, he looks at the watch and doesn't make any noise. Then, about 20 minutes later, he looks at the watch again, and it's beeping again. Doot, doot. So,
no, I think it was the other way around. I think they gave up on the beeping pretty clearly.
There was one in between where it didn't beep. Yeah, I think somebody else was looking at the watch. It only works when he looks at the watch. And it's
throughout the movie, he's very stealthy at certain points. Mm-hmm. He reaches up behind people and snaps their necks and bites their, you know, butts or whatever he does. And you'd think that the beeping would kind of give him away.
Yeah.
Right? What about the part where he's fighting Dan Hedaya and he there's a door there and he runs at the door.
He jumps through it?
He could open the door and kind of slip through like before the guy turns around. But instead he just throws himself through the door and it like kind of fractures and like there's glass and splinters and stuff, and you think that would cut him up pretty badly and injure him. He doesn't have time for handles or anything. He doesn't have time to bleed or hurls himself through. And then everyone follows the rule where you shoot some shots around the corner and then you wait for the other person to stop shooting some shots. And then you do this, right? And then one of you runs away, then the other person follows. And they do that a few times.
But Arnold doesn't follow that rule.
He doesn't, because what he decides to do is, I'm gonna do the old flip and roll thing, which everyone does. You flip and roll, which they did in Rambo a few times too.
Yeah.
You flip and roll, you pop up, and the guy's like, oh, you're right there. And they don't shoot, right?
They did that a lot in Rambo, actually.
People kept flipping and rolling during that fight. Yeah. Well, those 50 caliber bullets were going everywhere. Guys were having time to flip and roll.
Yeah, I'm surprised nobody died from friendly fire. It was really...
Well, because he's that good.
He is.
He's that good.
Firing
he's
indiscriminately. He's a sniper with that.
He's a 50 caliber.
And he's been playing Call of Duty 4.
Oh, man. I wish. No, in Call of Duty 4, if you fire a big gun like that, you can't tell what's going on. You know, like those ones that are set up against the walls and stuff?
Yeah,
If you shoot those, it just goes...
Yeah.
You can't see what you're shooting at. Yeah, it's probably realistic. Anyway, Commando's great movie. If I had to give Commando grade, it would be A+. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone, and another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey, we're gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust. I think he knew as a cop that if you taunt the bad guy, they're going to make a mistake.
Absolutely.
But the thing is, if you taunt the good guy, he just gets really angry.
Well, it's like in White Men Can't Jump, remember? He's like, I'm making him mad. He's like, I know you're making him mad. You're making me mad, too. He's like, they play bad when they're mad. You play good.
Exactly. So you can tell someone's a good guy because if they get mad, they get better at what they're doing, right?
Pretty much.
So what are you?
I'm definitely a bad guy.